Hey everyone.
Hola a todos.
This is Jahaira.
And this is Stephanie. And welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
How is everyone doing today? Ya llegamos al little hump of the week.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know about y'all, but it's our favorite day of the week.
Wednesday.
Yes.
If y'all don't know that by now.
I mean, aside from Cuento Crimen, I feel like Wednesday just has a lot of perks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Especially compared to Monday. But yeah, anyways, we hope que todos estén teniendo un lindo día. And if you're not, I'm sending you a hug.
All right, we're all here for true crime. Entonces, hoy vamos a hablar sobre un caso que sucedió en Veracruz, México. And honestly, this case really surprised us. I feel like we consume so much true crime every week, right? And I don't know, I was just not expecting the details in this case. I just felt like it was a big twist.
Definitely a twist to say the least. Hoy vamos a hablar sobre Evangelina Tejera Bozada. And as usual, we will be talking about sensitive topics. Entonces queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
And again, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y a las víctimas. Okay, let's begin.
Evangelina Tejera Bozada was also known as La Reina Maldita. Ella nació en el 1965 en el puerto de Veracruz, México. And it is said that she grew up well off. Her parents gave her everything they could. She was enrolled in the best schools in Veracruz and, you know, she was living the good life. Y pronto ella empezó cursos de bellezas. Con tan solo 18 años, Evangelina logró ser reina del carnaval de Veracruz.
And this is like a big deal in this community, mm-hmm. right? But before we go on into the case, we want to dig a little deeper into her life. Evangelina ante el mundo iba a las mejores escuelas. Ella era hermosa. Su familia era reconocida y tenía dinero. But it wasn't all glamorous. Because behind closed doors, it was a different story. La relación de sus papás was not healthy. We read that her dad was a well-known, either a medical or estate agent. But we read that he would beat his wife in front of their children. And in this case, it was Evangelina and her brother, Juan Miguel Tejera.
And also, she was kept in closed doors with a lot of restrictions. Like, she wasn't allowed to go outside and play with other kids. It was always kind of what her father wanted her to do.
Mm-hmm. Su papá indulged in alcohol as well. And in one instance, her father threatened to murder the whole entire family because he claimed that they ruined his life.
And that is so messed up. Like, I feel like you were responsible for having children. Like, mm-hmm. how are you now going to turn around and tell your children that they ruined your life?
Yeah, it was his choice to have children.
It was your choice to have kids, dude. I'm sorry. I just hate, like, when parents use that. Like, it's, like,
yeah.
your choice. So, anyways, when she turned 9 years old, sus papás estaban divorciando. And Evangelina struggled to maintain a relationship with her mother. And so she ended up ironically living with her father and stepmom, and she continued to live a comfortable lifestyle.
Honestly, it seemed like more than a comfortable lifestyle because, you know, she came from money, mm-hmm. and también she associated herself with, and I quote, la alta sociedad de Veracruz. And this was all because her father made her be in this group of people. And in a sense, maybe he was trying to make up for what he put her through while growing up. So he was, I guess he was trying to give her all the opportunities he could.
Yeah, he signed her up for so many activities and classes. Ella tomaba clases de piano, de tennis, just like all the extracurriculars that you can think about. And her beauty and all these efforts put her around a lot of wealthy people.
And that's how she was able to put herself out there and even make it as La Reina de Carnaval de Veracruz at just 18 years old.
And honestly, to like be this kind of person, like you have to be a social butterfly. Mm-hmm. Like, te tiene que gustar hablar con personas, you know, mingle, be out and about. Y eso es lo que pasó con Evangelina. Su comunidad la amaba. Like, they they loved her. Like, she was this public image to them.
Yeah. However, all this attention and glory opened her life to a new world. And that was drug and alcohol addiction. And she was around men that were not good for her. And it seems like she was in abusive relationships and eventually stopped going to these high social events and parties.
Instead of, you know, attending the parties or social events, ella se fue a las discotecas and, you know, was just out drinking and, you know, doing all sorts of stuff. And she began to have these toxic, abusive relationships.
And she ended up getting pregnant from one of these relationships, con su amante. And she actually got pregnant twice, and she gave birth to two little boys with the names of Jaime and Juan Miguel Tejera Bozada.
The father, quien se llamaba Mario de la Rosa Villanueva, was not in the picture, and he did not want to be part of either of the boys' lives. And so Evangelina los registró con el apellido de ella, and it was just her and her two boys.
However, despite this bad treatment from her partner, she would not leave him. En un artículo leímos that que ella no se atrevía a estar sola, entonces fue su amante que la dejó.
And so after he left, she ended up moving back in with her family. And, you know, that's when she tried to incorporate herself in the lifestyle that she once had. She wanted to enter otra vez la alta sociedad, you know, and be around all these wealthy people and stuff.
Entonces she began hosting parties, but she would do this while she would lock her children in the room. And it's said that these parties were full of drugs and alcohol.
Y después de un rato, su familia paró de apoyarla. They stopped helping her out. And when they found out the reality that Evangelina was living, you know, like with the drugs and the alcohol and just also the way that she was treating her children, they just stopped supporting her.
Mm-hmm. And in that moment, she lost everything. She lost family support. They weren't helping her financially. She had no job. And also kind of lost in the memory porque she was once la reina, mm-hmm. and now she's not.
And it's so sad. Like, I feel like we've seen this, like, type of narrative a lot of times. This person that has all this power and, like, all this social influence, and then it just kind of goes out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And this story takes a brutal turn. So this is going into April of 1989. Y su familia nota que los bebés, you know, are nowhere to be seen. Ellos ya tienen rato que no los han visto, haven't heard from them. And so the family just had so many questions about their whereabouts.
Yeah, I mean, they're two babies and, I mean, they can't go anywhere by themselves, right? Yeah. And the family wants to see the babies. Los quieren mm-hmm. ver. You know, they bring so much joy, right? Entonces, they thought that it was weird that they haven't seen the two boys in a while. Entonces, el hermano de Evangelina, que se llama Juan, went to go visit her, and he noticed that the kids weren't there and que había manchas de sangre por todo el apartamento. Entonces, he pressures Evangelina for answers, and she finally cracks and she yells y dice, and I quote, "Ahí están el ruido espantoso de su llanto," end quote, as she pointed to unas macetas que tenía.
Oh my gosh, I like the goosebumps reading that again. Like, y entonces su hermano Juan Miguel did not shake at all. He did not protect her and immediately turned her into authorities.
And so with this, we learn what happened. And the story is que el 18 de marzo del año 1989, her two boys were crying and she was using cocaine, and she grabbed the little one y lo encerró en la recámara, and then she proceeded to grab him by the feet and hit him against the ground.
That makes my heart feel so heavy. Like, they look for you for comfort. They look for you for protection. And then, like, you go ahead and you do this. Like, you only make it.
And you decide you're the one that wanted to have a child. Or you had a child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, kids don't know any better. They're going to ask you.
And it's like, if the kid is crying, maybe he was hungry. Maybe mm-hmm. he needed a diaper change. Maybe he like, they need something. They mm-hmm. don't just cry just to cry, mm-hmm. you know? So it's just, it's really sad.
Like, I know.
It shakes me to the core. And so she did that to the younger one, and the exact same fate awaited her other child. Los dos sufrieron fracturas de cráneo y murieron instantáneamente.
She killed her two sons, Jaime and Juan, who were just 2 and 3 years old. Sickening.
Yeah, y todo por las drogas.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you brought them into this world, like, it's your responsibility. Like, mm-hmm. it, you know, I'm sorry. So, it was discovered that she put the bodies in a stove and tried to make them into ashes. But that wasn't enough to make ashes, so she proceeded to chop up the bodies and then put them in the macetas that were outside her house.
In court, Evangelina claimed that her kids died because she didn't have the funds to feed them. And so they died and she got scared, which is why she put them in las macetas. But later, the autopsy revealed the head injuries.
She served time in el penal de Allende ubicado en la Avenida Miguel Alemán.
Her defense did try to say that she was not conscious of her actions and had mental issues, but this was discarded away and she was sentenced to 20 years.
It is said that she was crowned in prison as la Reina del Penal. It is said that she gave classes de aerobics to the other prisoners.
También we read that during this time, she started a romance con un narcotraficante that later asked a politician to release Evangelina from prison because this politician owed this narcotraficante a favor. And he did grant this, but Evangelina decided to stay in prison and live with her lover. But 2 months later, her lover was stabbed to death.
She then was released in 2006, and her whereabouts to this present day are unknown. You know, there's like a bunch of rumors, like some say that she's back in her hometown, que ya está viendo con su familia, who have employed her, que la han visto in luxury hotels. And others say that she actually ended up going into protection after her prison lover's death.
And so that is all that we know about Evangelina Tejera Bozada and her life story and the horrific crimes that she committed against her own two children.
And it's also just crazy, like, the way her life took a turn, you know?
It did. Like, you know, you're reading it and, you know, she has all this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, we also said behind closed doors, it wasn't, like, nice.
True.
And you know, but nonetheless, what she did was wrong.
Yeah.
And now she's a free woman.
It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, crazy about it. It's also just crazy how, like, she just went off the grid, which, I mean, is expected, like, after you do something so mm-hmm. horrific. But it's like, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you up to?
It's crazy to think that, like, she might be, like, surrounded by people who don't know what she did.
Exactly. She just started a new life, como mm-hmm. si nada. And I think that's the part that bothers me the most.
Yeah, it's so scary.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is all that we have for this week's episode. Let us know what you think in the comments. And don't forget to rate us on Spotify or leave us a review on Apple Podcast. That helps the show grow. Once again, thank you so much and we'll see you all next week.
What's up, guys? This is the Unnoticed Podcast
with your host, George,
and your host, Ricardo, where we get straight into pop culture, true crime, conspiracies, and scary stories,
making you feel like you're right in the room with your homies.
And you can find the Unnoticed Podcast on all platforms.
And with that being said,
welcome back to the spot. Don't make it hot.
We love you,
even if you love us or not.
Ah. Clown Boys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.